Hey everybody, and welcome back. Today we are going to be breaking down the Dana White Contender Series Season 5 Week 6 card. And I know it's a little bit late, the card airs tonight on ESPN, but maybe you'll catch it in time. First though, I want to rewind and go back even before the UFC cards this past weekend and talk about the Bellator card, where Douglas Lima faced off against MVP. Douglas Lima got a split decision, MVP got a split decision victory over Douglas Lima, but a lot of people felt like Lima should have won the fight. Here are my thoughts on it. I don't really care either way. I didn't think either guy really ran away with it. And if I was scoring the fight, I probably would have scored it for Douglas Lima, right? Like, I probably would have taken the wrestling and everything into consideration. But at the same time, it was in London, so it's an MVP's hometown, right? Like, you know he's going to get that nod from the judges. Like, if it's a close fight, it's going to him. And B, MVP is really the only one who did any damage with anything. Like, I know Douglas Lima got some ground and pound and stuff, but I really feel like MVP has a very underdeveloped guard, like a classic jiu-jitsu guard. He knows how to close his legs up around you, and that's it, right? He just hangs out there. He doesn't try to get his feet to the hips. He doesn't have any hip movement side to side to try to generate any sort of, like, off-balancing or kazushi of his opponent. He literally just chills there. And I feel like Douglas Lima, the reason I was okay with them giving this fight to Michael Venom Page is because I felt like on the ground, Douglas Lima should have been working more actively to pass the guard of MVP, because I think his guard is pretty terrible in terms of MMA standards, right? Like, I think that Douglas Lima should have been working really hard to pass his guard, look for the finish, and rain down some heavy ground and pound. Like, you can't be hanging out inside MVP's legs. You got it to the one area where you have an advantage. And look at what Paul Daly did when he took him down. If Paul Daly can take MVP down and fucking keep him on the ground, anybody in the world, no offense, Paul Daly, I mean, you just know that Paul Daly is known for his striking and his knockout power, right? And when he's taking MVP down at will, it's like, goddamn, who can't do it? So when you get him there, it's like, I'd like to see a little bit more urgency and like to see him hunt for the finish. So, I mean, fuck, I really didn't have a problem with them giving that win to MVP. Like I said, personally, probably would have scored it for Lima, but you can't act like it was highway robbery or anything like that, you know? Moving on, let's recap the Santos versus Walker card, the UFC card from this past Saturday. So kicking off the prelims, Alejandro Perez defeats Johnny Eduardo via that second round armbar. It kind of came from that scarf hold position. You don't see that very often in MMA. Stephanie Egger beat Shanna Young via second round TKO. Douglas Silva de Andrade beat Gaetano Pirello. He was a pretty big favorite in this one, but still good to see Silva de Andrade pick up a finish win and do what he was supposed to do. Jamie Mullarkey is a killer, man. I fucking love Jamie Mullarkey. You know, comes into these fights as this like kind of underdog character, and he's down early in the Devontae Smith fight, and then he comes back and wins and gets the finish in the second round. And against a guy in Devontae Smith who's been very highly touted, right? Like, I know he slid a little bit, but still a promising prospect with a lot of skills. And Jamie Mullarkey showing that he's the real fucking deal. I'm a big fan of Jamie Mullarkey, man. Carol Rosa versus Betch Kohea. I kind of thought the UFC did Betch Kohea dirty on this one, just because she was a massive underdog and this is her retirement fight, and you sent her off against a girl who's clearly going to kick her ass. Like, I thought they could have did a little bit better by her, but you know, it is what it is. Betch Kohea gets beat up in her retirement fight. Nice way to be sent off. Thanks a lot, UFC. Casey O'Neill beat up on Antonina Shevchenko pretty good. Antonina Shevchenko is the little sister of Valentina Shevchenko, the women's flyweight champion, right? So obviously her name is just going to carry a lot of weight. And the fact that Casey O'Neill beat her is a big deal for Casey O'Neill's career. Like, to have that name on your resume, it's important, right? But in my opinion, Antonina Shevchenko is just not UFC ready. I think she has a strong striking experience and everything, like a strong striking background. But when you try to put all the pieces together in an MMA fight, she's just not where she needs to be fighting at a UFC level. In my opinion, Antonina Shevchenko is somebody who could benefit a lot from moving down to a lower level organization, getting some experience, and not only experience, but some confidence against some girls that she's more well matched against. And then when she's refined and kind of honed her skills a little bit, then she can re-enter the UFC. But personally, right now, I don't think she's UFC ready. Jared Gordon versus Joe Selecki was a good fight. I like this one for a couple reasons. I like this because, you know, you got Joe Selecki, who's relatively new to the UFC, going up against a veteran in Jared Gordon. Joe Selecki's got his back for a lot of the first round, you know, but Gordon survives. And the second reason I like this fight a lot is because it shows you how important it is to get on top in MMA. If you are in top position, even if you're going against a highly highly skilled Brazilian jiu-jitsu player, I feel like you still have an advantage because it's in a fight and you can rain down punches and stuff. And so much of what works in pure jiu-jitsu does not work in a fight. There's no inverting or doing any of this fucking shit in a fight, right? Like, getting on top is important. And when Jared Gordon got on top of Joe Selecki, who I think Joe Selecki's probably the better jiu-jitsu player, it didn't matter, right? Because it's a fight now. And the person, it's just so important to be on top during an MMA fight, right? That's why wrestling's so goddamn important. And unless you have a crazy fucking guard, like a Brian Ortega type guard, you don't really want to be hanging out in that position, right? Like, you want to be working to get back to your feet. And it just goes to show you that even though Joe Selecki is probably better on the ground, a better pure grappler than Jared Gordon, there's a big difference in how you have to grapple when you get to MMA, right? And oftentimes, you also find this in MMA. If you get into a position like Joe Selecki was, where you have an opportunity to finish your opponent, like you have his back, and you don't, and they survive, that's almost demoralizing, right? So you see in MMA a lot that when that happens, a lot of the times that person ends up losing the fight just because, like, they've realized, like, I had this guy in a terrible position and I couldn't put him away there. Right, especially when they're there for a while and you can't solve that riddle. So, a lot going on in that one. But this is a fight that I think was really important for Joe Selecki's career. I think he comes back a lot better for this one. I still think he's a problem moving down the road. All right, let's move on to the main card. Alexander Hernandez beat up on Mike Breeden. I think we kind of expected this one. You know, Breeden making his UFC debut. He's got some smooth hands, but he struggles to defend the takedowns, especially, right? And I kind of thought that that was the path that Alexander Hernandez would take in this fight because he's a pretty good wrestler. I thought he'd just take the path of least resistance, take this guy down, beat him up until he gets a finisher, picks up an easy decision win. But turns out the path of least resistance was through the striking. And, you know, and it's not that I felt like Hernandez had him outmatched there. Like, he has better movement, he's more explosive, he's more athletic, all the above, right? And just a little bit more nuance in the striking game and everything. Like I said, Breeden uses the hands. He does use his kicks and throw kicks and shit in, but I just felt like Hernandez had the advantage everywhere, but that he might lean on the wrestling, but he gets a first round knockout and takes care of a guy that he should have beat. So good win for Hernandez. Moving on to a middleweight bout between Christoph Jako and Misha Cirkunov. Misha Cirkunov is a guy, man, who up at 205, he gets knocked out with these big explosive shots, right? Like Johnny Walker, Ryan Spann. And he moves down to 185, and he's going up against Christoph Jako, who's very talented, right? But I think that when he dropped down to 185, he expected to kind of have a strength advantage because this is a guy who's tapping guys out at 205, and when he gets to the ground with them, he's out grappling them, right? And I just don't think it translated like he thought it was going to. This was a close fight. It was back and forth. I personally scored it for Christoph Jako. And I mean, Jocko's a big middleweight too, man. You know what I mean? Like, he's tall, he's lengthy, he's a good grappler, he's very well-rounded, he's a legit opponent. This is not an easy first fight for Cirkunov at 185. But to me, he just feels like one of those guys who was probably an in-betweener, right? Like, he should probably be fighting at 195. Like, 205, those guys are maybe just a little bit too big and too fast for him. But 185, it's like, I think he's at a little bit of a speed disadvantage and the power's not quite right. It's not quite there, right? Like, it's like he got zapped of energy during a weight cut or something. And maybe he'll adjust moving forward. But I think he's a guy who would do really well in a 195-pound division, right? It is what it is. Nico Price defeated Alex Oliveira. This was a fight that I think everyone was looking forward to. Still a good scrap, but not quite the barn burner I think everyone expected it to be. Nico Price just a little bit too young, too strong, too technical, too good, right? Beats up on Alex Oliveira, gets a unanimous decision win. Not that Oliveira didn't put up a fight, but I just think, you know, you got to see that Price was the better fighter. Kyle Daukaus and Kevin Holland. Now, this was an interesting one because Kyle Daukaus, with the crown of his head, right? There's an accidental clash of heads between these two. And Kyle Daukaus hits Kevin Holland on the chin with the crown of his head, knocks him out. And then as Kevin Holland is falling, right, you can see his eyes roll back, so you know he's out cold. And then he hits the ground and it wakes him back up. Kyle Daukaus swarms, gets on top of him. They go through some grappling transitions and stuff, and Holland's trying to defend, and Daukaus ends up sinking in a rear naked choke. Now, in the post-fight press conference, you know, you see Daukaus saying that he felt like it should have been counted, but man, it stemmed from an illegal blow. Like, it wasn't just a clash of heads either where he was fine. Like, he got knocked the fuck out cold, hit the ground, woke back up to you on his back. There's no way that's fair. Ruling this a no contest was the right way to do it. And this is a fight that I really hope they run back because there was a lot of, like, not necessarily personal history between these two, but there was just kind of a dynamic going with this fight that I liked a lot, and I was looking forward to the grappling because of it. So I believe the trainer or the owner of the gym that Kyle Daukaus trains at is William Garcia Jr., and he received his black belt from Carlos Machado. And Carlos Machado is the same guy who gave Travis Luter his black belt. And Kevin Holland trains under Travis Luter, right? So you've got this kind of like interesting branch, right? Where these two guys branch off. They have their own gym, one in Philly, one down in Texas, in Fort Worth. And it's just like, I kind of wanted to see how that jiu-jitsu battle played out, right? Because you got to think that Garcia is going to be a little bit maybe more new school. And then you got a guy in Travis Luter who's had his black belt since like what, fucking 2002 or some shit. So I wanted to see how that jiu-jitsu played out because Daukaus is a pretty good grappler, you know? The way him and his brother got involved in MMA, his brother Chris, who fights at heavyweight, is because they competed in some grappling competitions and did well, and that's like what kind of gave him the bug, right? So these guys both had pretty strong jiu-jitsu backgrounds, and I wanted to see how that played out a little bit more, and I thought it was interesting on the feet as well. Both guys are pretty dangerous there, but it is what it is. I hope this is a fight the UFC runs back, and I think a no contest was the right call. All right, the main event, Thiago Santos versus Johnny Walker. Now, this was a fight where I thought Thiago Santos definitely deserved the victory. Like, I think he won the second and third pretty clearly, and I thought that that left hand he landed in the fifth round was the biggest of the fight, and that undoubtedly gave him that round, right? Just because there wasn't a lot happening, so when something big did happen, it felt like it swayed all the momentum over into your favor, right? But for me, I couldn't help but look at Johnny Walker and think he could be so much better than what he's doing, right? Because throughout his career so far, he's relied on these big explosive shots that put people off because he's way more athletic than the guys. He's faster and all this stuff, right? And he's unpredictable. And when he would land, he was just rocking guys. And I think that when you're even at the beginning, like in a low UFC level, right? Like when you're taking your first few fights in the UFC, that's possible. But as you start climbing the ladder and getting higher and higher up in the division and start getting these tougher fights, like a guy like Thiago Santos, he's going to be more well-equipped to deal with stuff like that. And it's going to be so much harder to catch him off guard with a singular shot. And I really feel like Johnny Walker, he's always doing this shit, right? Like he's always like looking, coming, trying to find these like weird angles to land stuff on you. And he throws some leg kicks. But I feel like Walker is a guy who could really benefit from implementing more fundamental striking in his game. It doesn't even have to be anything complicated. Just sit back and throw stuff down the middle, man. He's a long guy. Throw some punches down the middle. Work your jab out there. Throw some combinations. Get more volume going. And then those big explosive shots that have gotten you here so far, those are still going to be there, but probably just in greater abundance because you're setting things up. It's the same kind of concept as looking for a takedown without using hands to set it up first, right? Like if you just go in on a naked takedown, it's very rare that it succeeds at a high level in the UFC, like almost never, right? But if you start stringing together these combinations and making the guy worry about your hands, then the takedowns become a little bit more, you know, it's way easier to land them. And the same kind of concept applies when you're trying to land power shots, in my opinion. You see a lot of guys and they have a ton of power and they bank on it. And they're like, I just got to land this one fucking shot. And you can see them and they're just waiting for the opportunity. But in my opinion, you have to find a balance with your cardio and your strength and everything and go in and create the opportunity. It's the only way to get it done at a high level. Johnny Walker cannot just sit around and keep waiting for these opportunities to come to him in fights. He has to create them. And I think that that's the main thing that Johnny Walker has to learn. I still think he's got a guy who's got wild potential moving forward. But if he could just implement some basic fundamental like Muay Thai striking, he's going to go a long ways. I think it would really help to open up his power and everything. All right. Enough of that. Let's move on to this Dana White Contender Series card that's going to air in a couple of hours here. So I'll try to be quick about this so I can get this out and posted and everything. And yeah, let's get rolling. So Genaro Valdez versus Patrick White. Patrick White is a guy who's fought over for Alaska FC a couple of times, right? Avalanche wrestling team up there. And yeah, man, I mean, living in fucking Alaska, so you know he's got to be tough as hell. But if you watch his tape and stuff, he's primarily a striker. And he's a pretty big underdog going into this fight against Genaro Valdez for good reason, in my opinion. Genaro Valdez fights out of Tijuana. He comes from the same camp that Brandon Moreno comes from, and he is a phenomenal wrestler. And anytime, and he's not only, he's really good at timing his entries and everything on his takedowns, right? He's really good at keeping his opponents down, and he's really aggressive, right? Meaning that when he gets you to the ground, he's looking to advance position and finish you, whether it's via strikes or via submission, right? He's looking to, he's constantly trying to move through these positions and stuff. And I think that when he runs into Patrick White tonight, he's going to blow through him, guys. I think that he's going to go out. Patrick White is going to be overwhelmed by the wrestling that Genaro Valdez is going to display. And when they're dry in that first round, Genaro Valdez is a big favorite for good reason. I think that you're going to see Genaro Valdez go in and get a first-round submission victory over Patrick White. I think it's that big of a mismatch. I think that when he takes him down, it is going to be glaringly obvious that Patrick White has never seen something like that before. Just my opinion. I think Valdez definitely goes out and gets it done. I would not be betting. Okay, so the next fight, there's another pretty big underdog in Shante Barnes. If you're going to bet on one of the two underdogs, I would be betting on Shante Barnes and not Patrick White, because anytime that a really talented striker and a really talented grappler, and Valdez is a really talented grappler, guys, anytime they collide, I feel like almost all of the time, the grappler has the advantage, right? You have to be so in, because in MMA, like, you have to be in control of the range and the distance all the time. And even if you're the better striker, it just seems like, and you hurt the guy, you still have to fend off the takedown and everything, right? Because if he gets a hold of you and you don't have the takedown defense, you could rock a guy, and you see it happen. You'll rock a guy, and then they grab a hold of you, take you down, and they're good to go for the rest of the fight, right? Like Curtis Blaydes, right? I mean, that kind of shit. When you can wrestle, it's just such a big difference maker. So I think White has the ability to hurt and maybe even finish Valdez, but I just think the odds of it happening are so low because the grappling is so high level from Valdez. All right, the guy we were just talking about who's another big underdog on this is Shante Barnes. He's fighting out of Asheville, North Carolina, with American Top Team there. And I can't find a lot of information about this guy or any of his team members or anything, right? But I did find a little bit of tape. I think he's going to have a little bit of a speed advantage over his opponent. But when you look at Joseph Holmes, who is a pretty big favorite in this fight, the guy that Shante Barnes is matched up against, Joseph Holmes is long. He uses his range well. He's got pretty good classically trained Muay Thai technique, and he's got pretty solid jiu-jitsu as well, right? Like, there are some things that you would see him do. Like, he would try to pass guard and stuff, and he would end up getting, like, reversed and because he wasn't setting that. He was trying to pass a little bit preemptively and stuff, but he definitely has – he's competent on the ground, right? Like, he's not world-class or anything, but he's pretty goddamn good. Choked a few of his opponents out, and, you know, he's got this, like, kind of combination where he can – keep it on the feet, and he's comfortable there. But if it gets to the ground, he's good. Like I said, he struggles a little bit with guys who can wrestle, I think. You know, maintaining that top position against guys who are strong and stuff. He tries to set up some passes before they're really ready and all that good shit. But he does have a lot of rear naked choke wins. And I did see him in the one trapping the arm with his leg. You know, like when he's on the guy's back and he's going for the rear naked, he's trapping the arm. And you don't see that a lot in MMA. So this guy is clearly competent in that area. And he's a pretty big favorite, but I'm picking him tonight. I think he's going to go in and win. I think it's going to be a decision win for him. But if I'm putting money on one of the two underdogs tonight, like one of the two big underdogs, I'm putting it on Shante Barnes just because I can't find a lot of stuff on him. And he does have a speed advantage. And in the Dana White Contender Series, if you can come out and just blitz your fucking opponent before they ever get going, and with Joseph Holmes being a longer guy, I think it's going to take him a little bit to get going. If you can get inside and kind of disrupt that rhythm early on, you have a chance. Now, that being said, I think Joseph Holmes wins this fight. Like I said, he's long, he's rangy, he's got good Muay Thai, good jiu-jitsu and stuff, some fundamental things he needs to work on. But overall, I just think he's way better than Shante Barnes. From what I've seen from Shante Barnes are limited fucking clips on like YouTube, right? He's knocked out Jay Ellis, and Jay Ellis holds the record for the most MMA losses in history, guys. He's 15-100, right? So Shante Barnes' win over that guy, you can't put a lot of stock into it. No joke, go look this guy up. He's lost like 25 fights in a row or some shit. 15-100. And this Jay Ellis guy that Shante Barnes knocked out, this Jay Ellis guy has beat Gerald Meerschaert, right? Early on in his career. So it's crazy. I don't know. Very bizarre. But I think Joseph Holmes gets it done. But if you guys are feeling frisky and want to bet on a dog, I would do Barnes over White. I think Barnes has a better chance of beating Holmes than White has of beating Valdez. All right, moving on. Fernie Garcia versus Josh Weems. Fernie Garcia is a guy who has been fighting over an LFA quite a bit. You know, built a pretty good career over there. He's got like four or five fights, and now he's getting a shot to get into the UFC. And he's a guy who's got some pretty good boxing, right, and some pretty good wrestling. Doesn't throw a lot of kicks and stuff, and he can get a little bit comfortable moving backwards, fighting out of Fortis MMA with Saeed Saouf and, you know, the guys down there. I think, though, man, his opponent tonight in Josh Weems, this is a tough one because Josh Weems is a guy who I think is very game. He's very active off of his back, right? He has decent jiu-jitsu. It's not like world class or anything, but he's active. But he does give up. We were talking about the importance of top position earlier in the Joe Selecki versus Jared Gordon fight. And what I've seen from Weems is that he's very active and stuff when he does get taken down, but he's kind of easy to get there. And he also, like, I don't know, man. He goes for submissions a lot, and he hits some of them, but I don't think that he'll be able to hit them on a guy like Fernie Garcia. I think Garcia's going to go in, probably he's going to bust him up in the boxing department a little bit and then out-wrestle him. And I think that when Garcia takes him down, I don't think that the submission game of Josh Weems off his back is going to be solid and, you know, just refined enough to tap a guy like Fernie Garcia out. I think you're going to see him try a bunch of stuff, but I think it's going to fail and it's going to eventually tire him out. And then just the pace and the relentless wrestling and having the advantage of being on top and everything is just going to start to stack up more and more in the corner of Fernie Garcia. And I think you see him go out and pick up this win over Josh Weems tonight. Like I said, Weems, man, he's crazy. He came out when he was fighting, and he fought for Gamebred FC. In the first fight for that organization that Jorge Masvidal owns. And he comes out and he throws wild shit, man. He clips his opponent with some spinning elbows. He threw a knee to open up the second round against the guy, and he's crazy and stuff. And he throws these big strikes, but I just think that the technical boxing from Fernie Garcia and the wrestling is going to pay dividends here. I got Garcia in this one by decision. I think Weems will survive, but I think Fernie Garcia wins the fight by decision. Also, that's another thing to note. Fernie Garcia has been having trouble getting his opponents out of the. He's been having trouble picking up finishes in his last few fights, right? And the Dana White Contender Series is built around guys getting a finish. So it's going to be interesting to see if Garcia comes out with a sense of urgency tonight or if he just kind of like leans on his wrestling and coasts his way to a victory. I don't want to say coast because like, you know, he's in there fighting and shit, right? But you know what I mean? It'll be interesting to see the type of urgency he has to get Josh Weems out of there. All right. Next fight is one that I'm very excited for. Danny Berez versus Carlos Hernandez. Carlos Hernandez is a guy fighting out of Illinois, right? And again, another guy, man, who I can't find a lot of footage on. I know that he suffered a loss to Gustavo Belart in his very first MMA fight, guys, as a professional, was against Gustavo Belart, who's an Olympian in Greco-Roman wrestling, right? It's a tough go for him. That's the only loss of his career. Most recently coming off a win over Trevor Wells at LFA 93. And this is a fight where I think the thing that's going to make the biggest difference in this fight, guys, is cardio. I think that when you look at Hernandez, his cardio is okay, but he definitely set a good pace in the first round and was dotting Trevor Wells up and was able to, he was moving backwards, but he was able to hold the octagon a little bit more effectively, right? And sting Wells with some more efficient shots. When the second round rolled around, however, he started getting backed up by Trevor Wells a little bit, right? And wasn't as active, like wasn't keeping hands in his face as often. And I think that Danny Berez is going to be fucking relentless. I think he is going to come forward with the same intensity in rounds 1, 2, and 3, right? And I think that he fights at a very high volume. I think that he's a little bit more aggressive than Hernandez. And the only thing I will say that I'll give advantage to Carlos Hernandez in this fight is I think he's smoother on the feet. Like there's a fluidity to his movement when he's striking that Danny Berez just doesn't have. But Danny Berez he's still very technically efficient on the feet. Don't get me wrong. There's just a fluidity thing, right? That Carlos Hernandez kind of has the edge. So I think that early on in this fight, you're going to probably see Carlos Hernandez take advantage of that. He's going to have smoother in and out movement, right? He'll just be sliding out of the way of things and countering. But as the fight wears on, I think that fluidity will start to matter less and less because I think Hernandez will start to get tired, and I think Danny Berez is just going to continue to push forward and push forward and push forward until he picks up a finish in the second or third round. I think it's going to take him a little bit, but I think Danny Berez is going to get a win over Carlos Hernandez by just putting a fucking pace on him that he can't keep up with. And this guy can wrestle in everything. He can mix it up very well. He's very well-rounded. And not that Hernandez can't. You saw in his last fight, like in the third round and shit, right, that he took the flight to the floor. But I just think that he's outmatched, and I think, like I said, I think as that fight starts to wear on, it's going to be the ability of Danny Berez, his ability to just keep a more consistent pace is going to be the difference maker in this one, I think. I'm putting my money on Danny Berez in this fight. And finally, the main event between Shimon Smetrisky and Mike Mallett. Mike Mallett is a guy who trains with Team Alpha Male, so you know that he's going to be very well coached. He's got very legit jiu-jitsu. I just watched one of his tournaments that he competed in, fight to win, split decision loss, but he knows what he's doing with the leg attack game and everything, right? He's picked up a few of his victories by submission. Probably the most notable name on this guy's resume is Hakeem Dawodu. Hakeem Dawodu knocked him out in World Series of Fighting back in 2014, but it was a fight where Mallett wasn't looking half bad, man. You know, he had Dawodu in danger at certain points, had his back, and he's competent in the striking department. He's actually a very refined striker, but Dawodu, man, just very good as well. Very strong, very powerful and athletic and shit, right? So that was a tough loss for him, but Mike Mallett rebounded with a win here recently. He fought Solomon Renfro over at CFFC 1 Cage Fury Fighting Championships. Fought him over at CFFC 91. Sorry, guys. I feel like my brain's spinning at like slower than usual RPMs today. But Mike Mallett fighting Shimon Smetrisky. And this is a guy who is coming from Israel. You know, I just think that with Smetrisky, you watch his fights and he starts off very good, but he fades a little bit as the fight wears on. And also, I just think in this fight, there's going to be a pretty big technical gap, right? Like, I think Mike Mallett is going to be a lot more technical than Smetrisky. And if Smetrisky can go in here and kind of turn this thing into a dogfight and maybe make the first round really tough for Mallett, he might be able to get the win. But I think that Mallett is going to be a little bit too clean, a little bit too precise, a little bit faster, and just a little bit more, like, just capable, right? Like, I think there's going to be things that Mallett can do that Smetrisky can't do, like, because of his flexibility and dexterity and everything. Like, I think Mallett has a big advantage in that department, and just his jiu-jitsu and everything. Like, I think everything from Mallett is going to be just too much for Smetrisky to handle. I think Mallett is going to be better than Smetrisky in every department except for maybe brawling, you know? Not that I'm struggling to say his name. Smetrisky is not talented or anything, but I just think that I think this is going to be probably a finish win for Mike Mallett. You know, I think he's seen a higher level of competition, and I just don't think Shimon has run into anybody like him yet. So those are the picks, guys. Let's recap real quick. I'm taking Genaro Valdez. I think he's going to get a submission win over Patrick White probably early on. Shante Barnes is probably going to lose to Joseph Holmes, but if you like a dog, throw your money on Barnes just because I can't find any tape on the guy anywhere. Maybe he comes out and lights it the fuck up, right? But I do think Joseph Holmes wins that fight, probably by decision. I think Fernie Garcia is going to pick up a win over Weems, but he's got to be careful because, like I said, Weems is very active off his back. I don't think he'll have what it takes to finish Fernie Garcia on the ground there, but, you know, man, he could. He throws up a lot of submissions, and fuck, maybe one of them sticks and he gets it. But I got Fernie Garcia in that fight. I just think he grinds Josh Weems out, tires him out, stays on top. And, you know, like I said, Fernie Garcia is struggling to get the finish lately, so it'll be interesting to see how he approaches the fight tonight. I got Danny Berez over Carlos Hernandez. Carlos Hernandez is a guy who I think is very good, very smooth on the feet. But I just think the relentless pace and forward pressure of Danny Berez is going to start to pay dividends, especially in rounds 2 and 3. I think you start to see Hernandez fade at the end of one. And then in the second round, you'll see the gas tank start to seep out of him as Danny Berez continues to put the pressure on and picks up the finish. And then in the main event, I got Mike Mallett beating Shimon Smetrisky. I just think that Mike Mallett is going to be too technical everywhere. Like I said, there's a big technical debt here that Smetrisky's going to owe. And in order to overcome it, he's just going to have to pay. Like, He's just going to have to try to make up for it by brawling, I think, and making this a dirty and ugly fight for Mike Mallett. But I think that Mallett will be too clean. I think he'll be sliding out of the way of strikes, countering with his own stuff. And I think if it goes to the ground, he's got an edge in the jiu-jitsu department as well. So, whew, with that being said, I think that's going to wrap this one up. It's been like 2 fucking months since I've made a video, guys. I went off. I got married. We went to San Diego for a week. I've been getting like planning all the wedding shit prior to that. And I don't know. It's been too long since I've made one of these. I know today, I feel like I say that all the time because I'm so inconsistent, but I know it was rusty today. So I appreciate you guys tuning in anyways. And yeah, as always, if you enjoy the content, give it a subscribe, thumbs up, leave a comment, let me know what you think. And let me know who you guys think is going to win the fights down in the comments tonight. All right, I will catch you all later. Bye-bye.